Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener today with the Living Savior Ministries, and we're talking about angels and how they can affect our health. Since our program talks about how to walk in divine health, we want you as a child of God to walk where God wants you to walk. And I believe with all my heart, the scripture teaching us that since he bore our sickness and removed our disease on the cross, and he said, it is finished, he expects and wants his children, which is his body, to walk in obedience to his word, which would be to walk in divine health. No sickness and no disease. But if we don't do what he says, even the angels can put sickness and disease upon us. And we were just discussing in the last session about how King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah were having a problem. Now, this is over in 2 Chronicles 32, where that the king of Assyria was going to wipe out Jerusalem. He came over there and he said, I'm going to destroy you and I'm going to wipe you out. And we will see what happens today. We'll continue on in that story. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you and praise you for the word of God, which tells us who you are, what you like, and what you don't like. And I'm going to ask you, Father, to bless your word today as it goes out, as we discuss it. Reveal to us your heart, which is your word, and bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, King Hezekiah was the king of Israel, and he was a good king. King Hezekiah, the prophet Isaiah was alive at that time, and they were working together as king and prophet. And this king of Assyria came by and began to make fun of the God of Israel. Now, that's a dangerous thing to do, but that's what the king Sennacherib did to the king Hezekiah and his God. Well, he said he was going to destroy Jerusalem. And he had a large army. In fact, in the scriptures, I believe it says he had 185,000 men. That's a pretty good size army. But he was going to absolutely wipe out Jerusalem and everything. So, instead of doing what most people do, most people, if they retaliate, they retaliate with their armies or whatever. But King Hezekiah and Isaiah went to the Lord, and they asked the Lord for protection. So it says God sent one angel, one. You know, when we were reading in Matthew, in one of the sessions, we talked about where Jesus said, do you not know that right now I could ask my Father for 12 legions of angels? That would be 72,000. And he would send them immediately. But King Hezekiah and Isaiah prayed and asked the Lord for protection from 185,000 Syrian soldiers, and God sent them one angel. One angel. And it says the angel came, and that night the one angel wiped out the Assyrian army. I mean, bam. Every one of the men, captains on down, everyone except the king, King Sennacherib, he was the only one that was left. And when he was so humiliated, since he got wiped out and every one of his men died, he went back to the temple of his God, and his own sons killed him in the temple of his own God. I thought, wow, isn't that amazing? But it cost him his life and 185,000 soldiers their life. And it happened because one angel from God showed up due to a prayer of a man and, well, two men, the king and a prophet, the prophet Isaiah. Well, the people saw this great and awesome event in 2 Chronicles 32, and so they began to send presents to the Lord and to Hezekiah. And the scripture says that after the Lord sent an angel and cut down every one of these mighty men, it says, the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And it says, and then in the Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 32:23, and it says, and many brought gifts to the Lord, which is where they should have brought gifts to the Lord, at Jerusalem, and presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he, Hezekiah, was exalted in the sight of all the nations thereafter. Now, what he's doing is sin. This is a devastating thing that we need to learn. This is what angers God, because Hezekiah was going to take this glory. He was exalted because it looked like he had won the battle, but all he did was pray. God was the one that fought the battle with his angel. And in because of this, it says here, and it took me a while to pick up on that, in verse 24 says, and in those days, the days that he was exalted, Hezekiah was sick and near death. Wow. And he prayed to the Lord, and he spoke to him and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah did not repay. In other words, God, after he prayed and asked God for something, God gave him a sign and showed him what he's supposed to do. But he wouldn't do it. And Hezekiah did not repay according to the favor shown him, for his heart was lifted up. He loved it when all the people were saying, you're somebody. Therefore, wrath was looming over him and over Judah and Jerusalem. They would have been better off to let the king of Assyria wipe them out. See, it's amazing what happens. We pray and ask God for protection, and he sends the protection, and then we take the glory for it. And then God's wrath falls upon not only the king, but the nation of Israel. It says that the wrath was looming over him and over Judah and Jerusalem, the whole countryside, the city and the countryside. So be sure, whatever you do, that you do not take any glory when the Lord does these great things for you. Don't ever take the glory. I mean, whenever you go pray for somebody in today's world as children of God, we have been given power and authority over sickness and disease. We can go pray for the sick, and we can see God do great and mighty things. But don't you ever start glorying in that, and don't you take the credit for it. You just praise him and thank him that you have the privilege to go out and pray for people and to see him do these great and wonderful things. Because if you take the glory, he will send an angel, and they will destroy you. It says, For any time the Lord does anything saints for you, do not take the glory, or an angel might kill you too. You do not want to do that. Or, if he doesn't kill you, you might become sick and under affliction and torment, like Hezekiah was. So always give God all the glory for all he does. Don't take it. And be sure all your words bring glory to the Lord. Now, your words are very, very important. I want you to see here, we're going to come back to the New Testament in Matthew chapter 12. We're going to go to verse 35, and I'm going to show you how important your words are. In Matthew 12:35, it says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. In verse 36, but I say to you that for every idle word that man may speak. Now think what he's saying. He says, but I say to you that for every idle word that men speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Just think. Every word that you will ever speak in your life will be recorded. Every word. Wow. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to repent of all those sins I've done in the past, and that you'll wash them away by the blood of the Lamb. Because, Lord, I've said some bad things in my life that I would not want to be judged for. So thank you for the blood of Jesus. Now then, when you learn this, you'll be more careful about your words. It says, because every word, both good and bad, you will stand in judgment for. So, verse 37, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Your words, to think of standing before the King of the universe, and every word, every idle word that we speak will be remembered, and we will be judged for them. So if you've spoken any idle or foolish words, repent and ask the Lord to wash those away for those sins. And he said he will, and he will not remember those sins anymore. What a privilege to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior that can wash us and cleanse us like that. So whatever you do, be very careful what you say. Your words will either cause your angel to work for you or against you. So you want to make sure your angel is working for you. As you can see in these cases, angels, like he said, are very powerful beings. They have great strength. Now, if one angel could kill 185,000 soldiers because one king and one prophet prayed a prayer, what can you do? Now, as children of God, there's no limitations to what you and I can do if you'll get in the Word and study it. Well, let's go back to the Old Testament and let's see how Abraham released an angel to go to work for him. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 24. Now, we are under this same covenant that Abraham was under. The Abrahamic covenant belongs to you and I today. But Abraham, let's see what it said in Genesis 24, starting with verse 8. But Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. It says, the Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I give this land, he will send his angel. Now, Abraham is saying that he, God, will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. In other words, he is telling this man, now this servant of his, you go to this distant land, and the God I serve will send an angel with you. He will go before you, and he will put the right woman in the right place as the wife for my son. Now, Abraham knows he has a covenant with God. He knows God spoke to him and told him to come to this land and that he would bless him if he would be obedient. And that's what Abraham's doing. He is doing this very thing. He is expecting God to do what God promised to do. Now this says,
we have to stop right there, but if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would give us a call at 940-242-2106, 940-242-2106, or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org, and there you can order all these things free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.